Welcome to IEC, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. Here's this week's message from Senior Pastor Dave Connolly.
So, are you having a good time? Everybody I talk to in the life groups, they tell me that they're having a wonderful time and how good this is and how it's impacting them. And I think that's absolutely spectacular. I'm so excited. I am. I also realize that there are things that are happening. And there are things that are happening because when you start to pray, well, there's a thing called spiritual warfare. Now, we don't talk much about that because, you know, that's not what the enemy wants to talk about. He wants us to kind of avoid everything and think that everything's okay and that when things happen and things are wrong and things don't go the way, we don't do anything about it. But we're in a battle. And as we get now just beyond halfway in our 40 days of prayer, if you are going through situations in life and you're kind of going, why is this happening now? Let me tell you why it's happening now. Because you're praying now. Because you're stepping out. We're refocusing. We're making sure that we're coming closer to God. And when you come closer to God, you're going to create some concerns. So be prepared for that. Some of the things that are cropping up, I kind of go, why is that happening? Well, I know why it's happening. If it's happening in your life on occasions and you can't figure it out, let me tell you, when you are in a battle, and we are, we will experience things in life that we need to stand, put on the full armor of God, and pray continually. Pray continually. And that's one of the things that has always fascinated me, especially when I first got saved. I had so many concerns and questions when I got saved. And then you start to develop your own understanding of it. I remember one of the pastors who was there asked me a question, and I answered it, and he says to me in complete and utter shock, "That's heresy," he says. "That's heresy." I said, "Well, if you don't teach me, how will I know?" And so you start to make up things. So when we hear the words, you know, pray without ceasing, I wonder, how in the world does that occur? How in the world can we continue to pray without ceasing? And so, you learn that, and I want to express that to you today. If you look in the Bible, you will find Paul who continually says this. "I'm praying for my brothers. I'm praying for you." Throughout every epistle he wrote, there is something in there about he's praying for others, he's doing this prayer, and this is why he's praying, this is how he's praying. He's always praying, especially during difficult times in his life. This guy went through an awful lot, and all of a sudden, all you do is you find him praying. He's praying when he's in prison. He's praying when there's these guards all around him. He's praying, telling them about you. But he's praying. He's praying continually. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's where I want to help you. Because I believe it will. And here's what I like to do. And I know some of you like it and some of you don't. But I love the Word of God. And I love breaking down the Word of God. And I like taking a text and exploding it. I do. I really do. It thrills me. So I'm going to do that this morning. It's short. But it's in Ephesians 6:18. It says this: "Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. And to do this, you must always be ready and never give up and always pray for God's people." So let me just tell you this first. He says that he wants us to pray in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit is simply this. The Spirit of God speaks to you. And then you have an option. So when the Spirit of God all of a sudden puts an impression on your mind and your heart about someone, then all of a sudden you need to pray for them. Don't put it off. If you get an image of someone in your mind and heart, you don't even know why, all of a sudden they're there, pray for them. Start to pray for them. You would be surprised the amount of pastors who call me And they say, Pastor, in the last couple of weeks, it's really been on my mind and heart. You've been on my mind and heart. I've been praying for you. I just wanted to call to make sure you're okay. Because somewhere, as they were praying, I came to their mind. And that's the way it should be. When people come to your mind, you need to pray for them. And if it's constantly on your mind, you need to call them. Because if the Spirit of God is talking to you, you need to do something about it. It's important. It truly is. Pray in the Spirit at all times, with all kinds of prayer. He then goes on to say, all times, every time, anywhere, any place, anything at all, with all kinds of prayers. Let me give you a list of all kinds of prayers. Let me give you some ideas here. There's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, where you believe for God to do an amazing thing, something that truly is without the scope of you being able to do anything about it. Praying of faith. Big prayers. Corporate prayers, where we gather together and pray and believe for great things corporately. Prayers of request, that which we want. Ask, you shall receive. Prayers of thanksgiving, thanking God for what He has done for us in prayer. Prayer of worship. Prayer of worship is similar to the prayer of thanksgiving, but in the prayer of worship, what we are doing is thanking God for who He is, whereas with the prayer of thanksgiving, we're thanking Him for what He has done. And then there's the prayer of consecration, where we set ourselves aside, where we desire just to be with God and alone with God, an off time that accompanies fasting. And then you have the prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession is the standing in the gap, is praying for others. And then there's the praying in the Spirit. That at times you don't have the words to say and you let the Spirit of God move through you with groans, things that you don't understand. It's important. We need to do this. Because what happens is that we don't often pray. What we would rather do is worry about a situation that seems to be out of control. And then we worry and worry and worry and worry about it. May I suggest to you that when you are going through something in life, don't worry about it anymore. I want you to pray about it. Pray about it. Because if we prayed more, we would worry less. Amen? Because that's the truth. We would worry less. We need to do that. And hey, He says, always be ready. Always be ready. If you're going to pray at all times, it means you have to have a plan. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How do you plan your prayers? Spontaneous prayers are good. They are. They're great. They are. But the Bible says you also need to plan your prayers. You need to think them through. You need to figure out what you want to say, why you want to say it, when you want to say it, what's it all about. You got to have a plan, Stan. That's what you got to do. You have to be prepared if you're going to be ready. Can't be ready if you're not prepared. Then He says, to do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Never quit praying. Say that with me. Never quit praying. Okay? Because as soon as we stop praying, we become prey. We become prey. P-R-E-Y. Finally, always pray for all of God's people, which means we're supposed to pray for everybody in the family of God. And that's important. Now, that's quite a list, isn't it? That's quite a list. And you can't pray for 2 minutes a day and cover anything on that list. It won't happen. It won't happen. We have to pray throughout the day. We have to pray throughout the day. It rhymes. You'll be able to remember it now. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Because hear me, the enemy doesn't want you to pray. Not at all. Not at all. He doesn't want you to change your focus. He doesn't. He wants you to look at the circumstances and wallow in them. But we're going to start praying. And we're going to pray in faith, believing, and trust God to do great and glorious things. And we're not going to hide in the prayer closet, which is a wonderful place, but you can't live there. We are to pray without ceasing. And here's how you do it. On the go. Say that with me. On the go. Pray without ceasing. On the go. On the go. Let me tell you two ways to do it. The first is to keep a running conversation with God. A running conversation with God. Just talking to God the way I'm talking to you. And then you don't sign off. You don't say, in Jesus' name, amen. You just carry on talking, and then you're doing something else, and then you then go back to talking about the same thing or something else, whatever comes to mind, and you're continually talking to God. You see, it's like breathing. You don't think about breathing, you just do it, right? And if you didn't breathe, you'd die. Prayer is spiritual breathing. Prayer is spiritual breathing. Prayer is to your soul what breathing is to your body. And it needs to become as natural to you so that you don't even think about it. Right now, you probably have to think about what you're praying about. But you can actually make it a habit where instead of talking to yourself, you talk to God. Now, we talk to ourselves all the time. All the time we talk to ourselves. It's constant. In fact, I find the older you get, not only do you talk to yourself a lot, but you actually start speaking it out. And you're walking along and you're talking, and because you're talking to yourself, and all of a sudden, your spouse, like Sharon says to me, what? And I go, no, I'm just talking to myself, right? And then I talk a little bit down the hall again. I start talking again. What? I go, I'm just talking to myself. It's time for the home. You start talking to yourself. It's time for the home. But we do. We talk to ourselves all the time. And all I want you to do is switch. Instead of talking to yourself all the time, talk to God all the time. Amen? It's a simple switch. You talk to God and you go, oh my goodness, you do it all day. You talk to God when you're driving in the car, you know? Like Hector's when he's driving in the car. Jesus, help that man. Help that driver. And you're talking. You're talking when you're going through a car wash. You're talking to God in the grocery store. As you walk through, I'm sure, you know, you talk to yourself, oh, that's too soft, that's too hard. Why did that person hit me with the cart? You can talk to God the same way. You know, it's a matter of changing our focus and realizing that we need to talk to God about everything. And as we continually talk on the go, you'll find that you do, and you do it more often. Because it's not formal. It's just a conversation the way I'm having a conversation with you now. But the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And 1 Thessalonians 5 says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. And we go, we can't do that. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Secondly, you got to schedule prayer times throughout the day. Okay? So you have the conversations, and you schedule prayer times throughout the day. Now, this is not a new idea. This is what the Jews did in the Bible. You can find it. You also have to understand that the Romans did this in every town that they went into. In every town they went into, they put up a bell tower. And that bell tower, they would ring at different times during the day. Okay? So it would ring at 6 in the morning. That was the first hour. 6 in the morning. It meant everybody get up, go to work, be like alarm clock. The town now had to get out and get going. About 9 a.m., the bell would ring again 3 hours later. So it was called the third hour. You'll read that in the Bible. Jesus hung the cross for the sixth hour. And it talks about the ninth hour. All through the Gospels, they're using Roman standard of time. So the 9 o'clock was the third hour. 12 noon was the sixth. And that was lunch break. And then it would ring again about 6 in the evening. And that meant everybody needs to go home. Pick up your hammer and go home. And then the Jews and the Christians started to do the same thing, only they associated it to prayer. And then the monks, when they were in their monasteries, they built towers, bell towers, and they would ring them at times of prayer. And so that everybody would come and pray. And if you go into a small town in Ontario, you will find that on Sunday, the bells in the church tower will ring on Sunday, reminding everyone that they need to come to church because it's time to worship and it's time to pray. The bells ring. Now, so let's take that thought. Reminders to pray. With the bells going on. Reminders of prayer. And then the conversational type of prayer. And then I want you to take the Lord's Prayer. Now the Lord's Prayer is what, if you're in a life group, you're now studying. And we are told that the Lord's Prayer is just a model prayer. It's not a prayer that is to be used and repeated over and over and over and over and over again. That's not what the Lord's Prayer is for. It's a model to be used to remind us to pray and how to pray and what to pray for. And so let's put all that together. Okay? Let's put all that together. Reminders to pray, the Lord's Prayer, conversational prayer. And let's talk about a typical day in your life. A typical day. Now think about it. Number one. The first thing when you get up is that you run for a cup of coffee. Amen? No. Don't do that. When you get out of bed, when you put your feet on the floor, I want you to get up with gratitude, with thanksgiving. I want you to get up, start telling God, "Oh, thank you, God. I am so glad to be up and be awake." You know, because you can wake up grumpy in the morning or you can let her sleep. Or you can let him sleep. You get up grumpy and complaining, it's a choice. It's a choice that you make. Okay? You make that choice as to how you get up, grumpy or complaining. Doctors have said that if you have a good attitude, if you have a heart of thanksgiving, you will be healthier physically and emotionally than you would be if you didn't do that. So why not every morning do we not wake up with gratitude, thanking God for all that He has done? Now let me tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that we have running water in this country. I am, because there are kids who don't have it, and that's why we do the 6K walk. I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for indoor plumbing. Okay? Because when I first met Sharon, the place that she was living, they only had an outhouse. Now, I'm from the city. We don't use outhouses. And so I have a choice. I can go and see Sharon and use an outhouse, or I can stay in Toronto. Sharon won. But I've been scarred for life. Scarred for life. And then she showed me a pot, the chimney. Oh my goodness. I am grateful for Sharon for teaching me things that I did not want to know. And I am grateful for you. I am truly grateful for you. I love you more than you know. And to help you, if you are in a life group, there is a gratitude list for you on page 178. And all it is a list. And it's a list from A to Z. Okay? It's a gratitude list. So what you do is you fill in the blanks. And then every morning when you get up, you grab your gratitude list and you start thanking God for all the things that you've written down. For example, A, abundant life. Thank God for the abundant life He's given you, because that's what we have. Beautiful kids. You know, beautiful kids. And then you get to C and you kind of think, okay, well, I don't know really what to say at C, but that's okay. You can come back to it maybe the next day or the day after. And then you get maybe down to F and you're you're thankful and you have gratitude in your heart for, well, for food. Thank you. For food, that's always good, right? I didn't think of food. I thought of forgiveness. And then, of course, I know. And then you go, gee, well, the gifts of the Spirit. And then, of course, you can't think of them. If you get down to S, and that's when you write in Sharon. You can write Sharon in there, and you can pray for Sharon. And then you go all the way to Z, and you fill in the things, and that's what you do. You get up in the morning, and you're so excited, and you grab your gratitude list, and you start praying and thanking God for everything on there, and bang, you feel fantastic. You just say to yourself, oh my goodness, because why shouldn't we do this? God has given us everything that we can possibly hope for. That's what 1 Corinthians 4:7 says. And we need to focus on all the things that He does for us. And that's why we can go back to the model prayer of the Lord's Prayer and go, thank you, Father, because you're in heaven. And we thank Him for being so good to us. Every good gift comes from our Father above. First thing out of bed, A to Z. Fill in the blanks. And that's how you start your day, gratitude. Then you get off your bed, and then you get dressed, you shower. You shower first, and then you get dressed. Don't get dressed and then go in the shower, okay? That means you're going to have a rotten day to start doing that. Okay? You get dressed, you shower, you're getting ready to have your breakfast. Here's the second thing you should do is bless God's name. Bless Him. Thank Him for who He is at breakfast. Because it doesn't have to be a long prayer. None of these have to be long prayers. But you want to honor God for who He is. You want to honor God, respect Him, give Him all the glory. You got to make sure that you call out His name, and the Almighty God who we love is tremendous. And we need to do that and carry on with the thinking, hallowed be thy name, right? He's a good Father. We honor Him. Hallowed be thy name. And we carry on. But you have to have a good name, right? You see, your name is really your character. And that's what we're talking about. It's God's character. If we have a go get a loan, and we have not good credit, our name's not going to be that good, and we're not going to get the loan. But God says when He gives us a promise, He fulfills that promise. Amen? Has God ever answered your prayer, has fulfilled a promise in your life? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Raise two hands if you like. Our God's faithful. Faithful to us. And what happens is, if you check the Psalms, you can see that God can be depended on, has integrity. His word is His bond. His promises are yes and amen. And you can go through that and check it out. Today, you see, names back in the Old Testament meant something. Today, the names are something that are cute. Okay, cute names. Let's call kids, and this is just fascinates me. Well, it doesn't fascinate me. What does it matter? You call your child West, or you call your child North, or you call your child Summer. Or you call your child Autumn. What are you trying to do? Right? I hear this on the news or someone famous and they're naming their kids this way. I go, are you crazy? That child has to walk through their life. You know? Hi, Thunder. It's just scary. You know, talk about a boy named Sue. We pick names today because if we have four or five kids, we all want their names to start with A. Right? The Bible, your name defined you. It stated who you are, who you are going to be, what you're going to become. And it's amazing. So when we get up with gratitude. At breakfast, we honor God, Almighty God. And we tell them that we do. And then you're off to work. You're going to work. Okay? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. It's the third phrase in the Lord's Prayer. That's what happens when you get about mid-morning. Mid-morning in your day. You're at work. You're at mid-morning. And number three, you give them your agenda. Give them your agenda. You see, no one's going to ring a bell for you at 10 or at 10:30 unless you're in school and you're having a break. I don't know. But they don't. So what you need to do is you need to recognize that maybe you need to take a break for yourself. Because let me ask you a question. Do you ever find yourself distracted at work? Do you find that you're not getting what you want to get done? Do you find that sometimes you spin your wheels trying to get things accomplished? Do you find that you really aren't focused the way you should be? Well, that's when you need to pray. Take a minute and pray at your desk. Go to the washroom and pray. Go down to your car. Walk down the hall. Do something. Take a minute. Take 5 minutes and pray. And here it is. We need to remember what matters most in our lives, that we are aligned with God. You see, it doesn't take long, but it's important. Because when we kind of are distracted, when we've lost our focus, when the big picture isn't there any longer and we're doing other things that are not accomplishing anything, or we've lost our direction, we need to go back and pray and actually do it. Pray and ask God for his help. Because that's when you come to your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because people, when Jesus says that, your kingdom come, your will be done, God's will is done. God's will is done. And when God's will is done, God's kingdom will come. So what we're saying is, God, we want your agenda for our lives. We want your will for our lives. We want your will to be done. So guide us. Guide us and help us so that we will get done what we have to get done here. Because do we need God's agenda in our life? Oh, do we need God's agenda as to how do we raise our kids? Do we need God's agenda as we struggle through some things that we just need help with? Because we're not going to always get things right.
But will?
Amen? God will. So at mid-morning, we need to align ourselves back to the purposes and the plans of God for our lives. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Because God's got a bigger picture for you. He has a picture for the world, but he has one for you uniquely and specifically for you. And when you call out and say, help me, he will. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's his plan, his purpose, his agenda. That's what you're seeking. Seek first. And all these things, everything else, all that he has in store for you shall be given to you, shall be added on to you. What's the key? Seek him first. That's the key. You say to me, Pastor, I don't have enough time to do stuff like that. Seek God's agenda first and he'll help you. I don't have enough money to accomplish that. Seek God's plan and agenda for you first. I have a major decision to make. I don't think I'm going to finish my assignments at school. Put God's agenda first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen? Now, sometime later, you're going to get a bit hungry. It's almost noon. Did you hear the bell? Sometimes. But number four, you need to list your needs, and lunchtime is a tremendous time to talk to God about the things that you need. You started off with gratitude, then you blessed his name, then you've aligned yourself with his purposes for your life, and now what you're doing is you're asking for your daily bread. Now, when you have lunch, what do you need? What do you normally have? A sandwich, right? A peanut butter sandwich. Ooh. Here, let me tell you a secret. Peanut butter sandwiches with lots of butter on white bread. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ever since I was 5 years old and all of my life and now all of my children's life and I know their children's life will be eating peanut butter sandwiches dipped in, well, here we go, Heinz tomato soup. Made with milk. Oh, Do not think that's not the best thing in the world. That is a tremendous meal. Now, lots of butter, lots of peanut butter, on white bread, soft. Dip it in the tomato soup, and then you eat it. Oh, my mouth is right now salivating. That was a staple diet in our home, and now it's a staple diet in my girl's home. It is wonderful. And I'm passing on this tradition and this wonderful thing for you to try. Okay? This is my gift to you. Okay? You gave me curried goat. I'm giving you Heinz tomato soup. That's the way that is. Okay? Unbelievable. Now where am I? Okay. Yeah, I have a peanut butter sandwich. And what that reminds us is God, give us this day our daily bread. Now, the bread is not real bread. The bread is what we need to sustain us. Now, I know that back in the day, the hippies called money bread, right? You know, money was called bread. How many people are hippies here? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, one at the back. There's always one at the back who raises their hand. But that represents, the daily bread represents what we need, what fulfills us, what our desires are. Give us this day our daily bread. Not our monthly bread, not our weekly bread, our daily bread. Because you see, God isn't interested in giving you what you need for the year, because then you wouldn't trust Him. You wouldn't have to depend on Him. That's why we are to pray for daily bread. And when the children of Israel, when they left Egypt and went to the promised land, what did God provide for them every day? Manna. Manna. And you couldn't store it. You couldn't save it. It got rotten. But God was providing for them what? Daily bread. And it's the same for us. He provides for us daily. Daily is when we should come to Him. Daily is what we need. We need to pray daily. So what do you do at lunch? You start praying for the things that you want God to do, that you believe and are asking God for. Right? Prayer of requests. You want to make sure that you're asking God for these things. Now, you can ask God for what? Anything. My goodness. Say that with me. Anything. Okay. Because He will give you everything. We just need to ask, and we don't ask enough. John 14:13 says, you can ask for anything in My name. But have not because you ask not. And lunchtime is a good time to focus on the things that you might like to have. Second thing in that same area is that while you're doing that, you need to pray for those that are around you, or your family, and your friends. Because you need to pray for them at that time also. That's called intercessory prayers, which of course are praying for others. And like I said, they are the greatest form of prayer. I don't think there's anything greater. You start praying for other people. God blesses them because you do. It's important. You got to pray at lunch for other people also, because you got people you know who are going through difficult times. You got people you know who could really be blessed by when you pray for them. So why don't you do that at lunch? You could do that when you have your sandwich. You could do that at Wendy's. You can do it anywhere you want. Just write it down. That's why some of us have journals to write stuff in that we can request and to pray for others, because it reminds us. And then, of course, when God speaks to us by His Spirit and reminds us and brings people up, that's when we pray right away for them too. Okay? Now, it doesn't say, give me my daily bread. It says, give us our daily bread, which means we are a family and we are to ask for others and not just ourselves. Okay? And when you make up your list and when you do, your afternoon is going to go an awful lot better. You have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Because you spend time with God, and He'll help you, and your day will be so much better. So now you come back in, you're at work, things are kind of progressing along, and then you get to about mid-afternoon. Mid-afternoon, and now is the time you're going to probably feel like you want to have a nap. If you've had a big lunch, you want to have a nap. Okay? But you can't do that, especially at work. They frown on that. You can't be sleeping on the job. But You need to make sure that you pray. Now, because you're not as sharp at that time of the day, don't read a book. Okay? Not good for you. And I don't know about you, but of course, I'm in the people business, right? So I'm dealing with people all the time. And I don't know if you know this, but people can drain you. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. I'm going to talk over here. People can drain you. And that's what happens. And when you're dealing with customers, when you're dealing with people that you're fixing their problems and you're handling all these things that your boss has dumped on you, by the time that mid-afternoon comes along, you sometimes don't have a good attitude because all these things have come upon you. And so now you have a choice. You can maintain that bad attitude, or you can go. Are you ready? Number five, you can make some soul corrections. Some soul corrections. And again, what you need to do is to take away yourself from the situations at work, go into the washroom, go down to your car, go down to the hall, take 5 minutes, clear your mind and pray to God and pray this prayer. Lord, is there something in my life that I need to download? Is there anything that has created any sin in my life because of the way I feel and maybe the way I reacted that I need to deal with? Search me, O Lord, know my heart, and test my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Psalm 139. God, is there something that I need to admit to, that I need to confess? I don't want to carry it with me for the rest of the day. Of course, at this point, we need to remember, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that's what we remember. So what do? Well, we own up to our own bad reactions. We admit to sin. And while we're at it, we should forgive anybody who's ever sinned against us, right? Because that'll happen throughout the day. Because certainly we don't want to have grudges and we don't want to bear resentments because the hurt that's been created. Because when we do that, we only hurt ourselves. And then, as a result, we regret the past and we worry about the future and we waste today. Stop it. Forgive us our sins. That's it. It's done. It's over. As we forgive those who sin against us. That's the caveat. You have to forgive others. Okay? Admit our sins, forgive others who have frustrated us throughout the day. There's no rational reason for carrying around the guilt. Just confess it, forgiveness, and let that take care of the situation. Psalm 32:5 says, remember this. I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. That's spectacular. And then all of a sudden, from the bell tower, you hear ding, gong. The bell is ringing in your head. You check the clock. It's 5 o'clock. It's time to go home. You start packing things up at work. You start putting things away. You jump in your car. You hop on a bus. And you start to head home. And on the way home, it's been showing that 90% of all arguments that occur happen before dinner. Okay? They happen before dinner. Three words. Low blood sugar. Low blood sugar. You're hungry. And the problem is that you come home, you go through the door, and you start taking everything out on your family. So you yell at your wife yells at the kids. The kids kick the dog chase the cat bites off Barbie's head, and you have to put it back on. You see, you need to stop before you go in. Stop before you go into the house. Say to God, help me. help me. I got some problems. I got some things I haven't really downloaded at work. I got these things going through my mind. Ask God to make you some, give you some wise decisions. Help us not to fall into temptation, God. And deliver us from the evil one. We would desire for us to fall into temptation and believe that we can't get out of it. You see, for some of you, when you go into the house at night, you know you're going to be watching a program on TV you should. Or you're going to open up your computer and watch stuff that you should. So before you walk through the door, pray. Lord, help me to walk away from temptation. Because God has given us a great, great, great promise. Here's what it is. You can handle it. Say that with me. You can handle it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can handle it. Oh, yes, you can. Because God has given us a promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. Now, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. We all go through some common experiences. You think you're special? No, no. Not when it comes to temptation. You have the exact temptations that everybody else had and has had for thousands of years. I guess the devil didn't like that. Because that's the truth. I'll take the white. It's amazing to me. You have to go into your house just before you go in, and you have to stop. And you have to say, God help me. Because a lot of people, when they're tempted, they go, well, I guess it's okay. Everybody else is. Everybody else is doing it. Or I shouldn't even be tempted. I don't know where that thought came from, because I'll tell you, it can only come from one place, and that's from the devil and his minions himself. We will all be tempted. Martin Luther said, you can keep the birds from flying over your head, but you cannot keep them from building a nest. But you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Okay? As soon as the birds flying over your head, I have other things going through my mind. You can't control every idea that is put into your mind. There is some stuff that you saw in a movie 20 years ago that you wish you never saw, that the devil will pull back into your mind 20 years later. That's why you have to watch what you put in your mind. But God says, no matter what, I will give you a way out. You, me, we just have to take it. We just have to take it. And so number 7, we come to the end of the day. And now you're getting ready for bed. Put on your pajamas, and here's the last thing you pray. The last phrase of the Lord's Prayer. End your day with encouraging truth. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If you think of that verse and remember what it means, before you go to sleep, you're going to sleep an awful lot better. Because what that verse says is an incredible truth. Number one, God is in control, right? God is in control. Not the liberal government. Your boss isn't, and your children shouldn't be. God is ultimately in control. And secondly, no matter what, no matter what is going on with our lives, no matter what the things are happening, God wins. We've read the rest of the book, amen? God wins. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So put your head on the pillow and say, good night, Father. I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning, and you win. You win. Because without a shadow of a doubt, you won the day. Because you prayed. And I want to encourage you this morning. Don't just listen. Do it. apply these truths to your life and try it. Because you see, you can do this using the Lord's Prayer during the day, highlighting your day, the ringing of the bell in your mind, the need to pray without ceasing on the go, thinking and sharing with God continually your heart. 5 minutes here, 2 minutes here, and 1 minute, and 15 minutes. Rest assured, by the time your day is over, you have prayed probably more than you've ever prayed before. And what happens is that when you pray and you get closer to God, you are going to grow stronger and better and be able to do things that you never thought before, believing for things that you never ever thought you could before. Because our God is an awesome God, amen? And He loves you and He loves me. And He wants us to come to Him and pray. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. You are a great and glorious Father. There is none like you. And you called us by name. You drew us to yourself. You allow us to call upon you, to thank you. You allow us to come and to ask for things that we could never dream of, and to help us in our times of difficulty, and to forgive us when we continually screw up. Father, thank you for that. Thank you that we can look to you, and that as we pray, that we will be able to pray the day. We'll be able to pray continuously, and we will become more than we were before the 40 days of prayer. Father, glorify yourself in and through us, and in and through this church. And for that, and for everything else, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, because you are our good, good God. Father, we thank you that you do use us. And we need to give ourselves away so that you truly can use us for what you have planned and your purpose for us is. Our desire is to honor you. So help us. And Father, I pray that if there are people in this place who, well, have realized maybe over the last couple of weeks that they kind of need to recommit themselves to you, that they need to draw closer, and maybe they've kind of fell off the rails and kind of spun their wheels for maybe too long. I pray that you will help them and guide them. I pray that you will allow them to know how loved they are, and that you truly, truly know their concerns. And I pray that you will be able to speak to them in such a way that they'll be able to overcome and come back to the God who called them in the first place. And I pray, like the prodigal son and the prodigal daughter, that there will be celebration, there will be joy, and they will realize that your arms are wide open, just waiting to hug them, to let them know how special they are in these seats. And I don't know, but I know there's some. And I pray, Lord, that you will touch their hearts and heal them. Let them to know the Father, the God. And bless them. Bless the socks off. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you next week. Have a spectacular week. God love you, as I love you too.
Thank you for joining us today. We always appreciate hearing how God is moving in your life. And everyone has a story to tell. We'd love to hear yours. So please visit us at iecfamily.com and click on the link that says Your Story. Also, if you'd like to support the ministry of IEC financially, you can do so by clicking on the giving link. Thank you again for taking the time to partner with us in this mission.